Well, Phyllis Cantrell Reynolds is with me this morning, and I found her the other day. I've heard of her for a long time, and I knew her when she was in school. She was younger than me, and we both went to Catlin School in the olden days, and she was a friend of my sister, who is now deceased. But I was so glad to find her again because I've been hearing about her for years, and she is the tree woman. But she has a background that I found very interesting. She went to Catlin Gable and then went to Mills College. She went to the University of Minnesota, where she got her BA and PhD, a PhD in clinical psychology. And so she is now, shrink on the faculty of the University of Minnesota. You're not doing anything with Minnesota now.
No, that's past.
And what are you doing now? Let's hear what you're doing in the present.
In the present, I'm still into trees. I have been into trees for 20 years or so, but I'm also a photographer, and I fiddle around with photography. But I'm presently doing a tree inventory finishing one of Laurelhurst Park for Portland State University. And the geography department there is putting the entire park on a digital map, and with every tree, which is about 1,000 trees in that park. It's a 30-acre park.
Sure.
And so I just finished that, actually, and they're going to get it out, and it'll be available to the public.
And you sustained a slight injury the other day.
I did, in the park.
You were in the park all by yourself doing some work. And they turned the sprinklers on.
Yes. And I now have a funny meniscus in my right knee.
It's not funny.
I hobble.
No. But I mean the picture of you doing your work and them turning on that vast.
Oh, yeah.
The
huge.
Vast water.
Those big sprinklers are demons.
Yeah. So, well, there are some... when you're out looking at trees and picking out trees and doing your work, does this happen often that you sustained any other injuries from time to time? Or what events have occurred while you were out there looking?
Well, I have I've not had any event happen to me. I've almost run over people with my car. Because when I was preparing for my book and writing my book about trees, I would cruise around Portland. And, you know, I was looking up at the trees, and I wasn't really looking at cars or people around me. And I never hit anyone, but I came close.
You were going awfully slowly.
Yes.
Slowly
yes,
running
yes.
into people. People with perambulators.
Yeah.
Let's get kind of specific, because people would like to know what you think of the trees around them. Where are the greatest trees?
In Portland?
Yes.
Because that's really my specialty, is the metropolitan area of Portland. And so the greatest trees are in the oldest neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And that's Irvington, Portland Heights, Laurelhurst, Eastmoreland. These were all...
Eastmoreland.
Well, you know, what happened with Portland, it grew with the 1905 Lewis and Clark Exposition. People moved in, and all kinds of new neighborhoods were made at that point, and all kinds of trees were planted just about the same time. And this is 100 years ago, 1905 to 1912, these neighborhoods were made, and that's why the old neighborhoods have nice, beautiful old trees.
And how did you get interested in trees, anyway?
Well, that's I was trying to remember how I got interested in trees, and I think it started because I have always been interested in identifying wildflowers. And so it was somewhere in the 1980s that my friend Elizabeth Diamond, who was the co-author of my book but died before it got written, and I got a list of trees around Portland that were significant trees. So we went driving around looking at these trees.
Okay.
And we discovered that some of them were no longer there.
Oh.
They had been cut down or whatever. So I said to Elizabeth, let's write a book. And maybe if we get the trees into a book, they'll be more likely to survive. So that's what started. And then I had a really steep learning curve because I knew something about trees, but not much. So I read and read and read and so forth. And I had a good friend, Stan Lindstrom, who knew everything about trees. And he came along and helped me. And I learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I did a lot of tree inventories together. And now I do them because I'm not sure that he's even with us anymore. But then I got, you know, I just got zeroed into trees and I couldn't stop.
Yes. Well, is there a place where these memorabilia are stashed away where people can go and find what? If they see a tree that they think is amazing, can they go and check it out?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
In the library or something?
Well, they can get my book. It's out of print, but it's around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, I think, about 130 trees in it. But another thing that I was head of the Heritage Tree Committee in Portland for a number of years, 8 years, I think. And there is a website, which I wrote. I did all the text and took, with a couple of exceptions, all the photos. And on that are over 260 trees with maps. The whole city is divided into maps of where the trees are, descriptions of the species, and lists like how many species. There are over 100 species. Mm. And so and there are photographs of every tree, and sometimes close-ups to help identify stuff. And then if you're really interested in elms, I did a special section on elms, because elms are very hard to identify, I think.
Why?
Well, there are lots of species. There's one kind that's a hybrid between two species, and it's not necessarily the same species. But you identify elms by the bloom, the seed, the leaf, and the bark.
Mm-hmm.
And even then it's hard. But some of them are fairly easy, but some of them are really hard. So I decided I would try to get it definitively out there. And I don't know how successful I've been. But that's on the website.
If you're successful to yourself, that's all that matters.
Well,
because
it's
a passion.
Right. This website, by the way, is if you Google Portland Heritage Trees, you can get at it that way.
Okay.
There's another way, but it's too complicated.
Do you have a favorite tree place where you can check out trees? Are they where they are have grown friendly?
Well, yeah, the Arboretum.
Yes.
Hoyt Arboretum has lots of trees, and they're all identified. And so some of them are not absolutely correct. But if I have a leaf or something or some part of a tree, I can go there because they have a list of where all their trees are,
mm-hmm.
and ID it that way. And that's quite good.
What's the most important tree in the Arboretum?
Oh,
too many.
Oh, that's well. Yeah. You see, the Arboretum is like a zoo.
They're kind of not exotic.
Native. Yeah, they're all exotic trees.
Uh huh.
And I don't know what the most important tree is. I really don't. There are so many in there.
Are there any trees that you've grown to love?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Yes.
Do you go and visit them?
Well, sometimes. And these mm-hmm. are more species. There are some trees in town that I really love.
And they're all pretty. You can't cut a tree down now, can you? You can?
Well, you have to get permission. It depends where it is. If it's in your own property, you can cut it down willy-nilly. But if it's on the parking strip, then you have to get permission from the city.
I see.
And a lot of people don't. They just simply cut it down anyway or cut at the tree. You know, your program is called Art Focus, and I really mm-hmm. think that trees are art.
Yes,
if they're left alone, unless you have a very skillful person to prune them, they're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they do their own thing.
Yeah, they do, and they have their own pruning things. By wind and that kind of thing. But some trees are really gorgeous. Like one of my favorite trees is downtown. It's on 10th near Jefferson and Main. And it's right next to the YWCA there. And it was planted in 1872. And so it's about 10 years older than that. It's an elm. It's an mm-hmm. American elm. It's gorgeous. It's had everything wrong done to it. I mean, they put a street over it. It was planted in front of a house when it was put in, the Burrell House.
The Burrell House?
Burrell, yeah.
A house where the Burrells lived.
Where the Burrells lived.
What's there down now besides the tree?
Well, it's the YWCA.
Oh, it
and
is
this
the YWCA.
And huge condominium that was put in. And mm-hmm. that impacted the roots. And it's had everything. And I hope it survives because it's a lovely. American elms, you know, are vase-shaped. And they go up like this and over and... And this tree is a beautiful example of an American elm. And, of course, we're losing our elms by Dutch elm disease. And so that's the other threat to this tree. If it doesn't, if we don't kill it, then Dutch elm disease.
Well, haven't the people of Portland become more conscious of trees and their...
Yeah.
And their... excuse me. I have a little frog in my throat this morning, and I've been trying to get rid of it, but it keeps coming back. And I think that you've been one of the people responsible for making us more aware of trees and plant life. And also, it's purifies the air, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Trees are good guys. And this same geography department at PSU did a study of comparing the tree loss or tree gain in Portland compared to other cities. Mm-hmm. And actually, Portland is getting a little bit ahead. Most cities are losing their trees, you know, construction, whatever, development, down go the trees. But in Portland, it's holding its own, and that's due in great part to Friends of Trees.
Yes. Now, I was going to, that was a question I was next going to ask you, because there was a furious putting of trees downtown about how many years ago?
Oh, that wasn't, you mean way back, where they put them in pots and so forth?
No, it was probably about 15 years ago, maybe.
Oh, that wasn't Friends of Trees.
It wasn't.
No, they go into neighborhoods, but I'm not aware of 15 years ago any furious.
Well, we suddenly got conscious of the downtown.
Oh yes,
and the cement streets.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then trees went in down there, and it was quite different, and it took them a long time to germinate and grow.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the sad thing about downtown Portland is that. Those trees come along and they grow up and then, oops, whoops, we have to put a new street in or we have to put a sewer in, so down come the trees again. Mm-hmm. You can't easily put sewers in streets or under streets without doing something to the roots of trees. Mm-hmm. And
what do they do with the trees that they take out?
It depends. If it's an elm, it gets burned. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of the Dutch elm disease. But the other trees, I don't know. I think they grind a lot of them up. I don't know. And I did. I was part of the Urban Forestry Commission for a long time. And I don't know what they did with the trees.
If I wanted to see a tree and was new to Portland, and I said, show me your fabulous tree, where would you take me?
Well, I'm partial to, besides this Burl Elm downtown, I'm partial to natives. And I like the dogwood, our native dogwood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some nice dogwoods in St. John's. And I love the madrones. And there are some nice ones on the east side, a couple on the west side. The nicest one is on the east side, and I love big leaf maples. Most people call them weed trees, and they cut them down all the time because they're a weed tree. Well, I love them. They're our native tree.
Is it a weed tree?
Well, they do very well. They are successful.
Over. I see.
And they're survivors, and they'll even come back if you cut them halfway down, they'll come back with a fury. My other favorite tree is a Gary oak, a Oregon white oak. And they are not really urban dwellers. And so, again, North Portland has the best oaks in town. And the reason for these trees doing well there is that they survive from benign neglect.
Uh-huh.
North Portland was kind of blue-collar, and people didn't really have gardens and do all that kind of stuff. They did other things. And so their trees survived.
Yeah. Well, we had, we lived on 18th Street years ago when I was just a tiny kid. And there were chestnut trees. And the chestnut trees, the roots lifted the sidewalk. And we roller skated on the sidewalk.
I know those
and
trees.
And it was a big deal to jump the places where they're still there. They're growing right over the street.
Well, yeah, they are. One of them, the biggest one that was, I know the planter of the tree, Newton Langerman planted it. And I know when. His wife told me when, and I can't remember now. It's in my book. And let me tell you the title of my book.
We need to mention that every once in a while.
Trees of Greater Portland.
Trees of Greater Portland, where we get it and so forth.
Well, it's out of print, but you can get it around. You can get it at Powell's, the library. Timber Press was the publisher.
Why don't they bring it back?
I don't know.
It's time to notify.
I know. A lot of people have said that, but Timber Press is no longer a local business.
I see.
So things change.
This is something I just have no knowledge of at all. I'm a great lover of trees, but there's a lot of shenanigans going on around trees, kinds of what people want to save and what people don't want to save.
Right.
And it seems to me that anything like that that's clearing the air would be coming back into fashion.
I think so. I think people are far more conscious now of what their trees are doing for them, sucking up all that CO2 and giving us, when it gets hot in the summer, giving us shade and sucking up other things, too. Some trees are very good city trees. And one of the oldest trees around is the ginkgo. And boy, does it survive in the city. They don't exist in the wild anymore.
Well, we didn't have ginkgos, did we, when Oregon was young?
Yes.
There were ginkgos?
Well, you mean because way, way back, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that they were transported from China or
oh,
something.
Oh, they were, but way yeah. back. They're fossil.
Yeah.
Fossil okay. evidence of ginkgos. That's why I say way back, before Oregon, but yeah.
I'm
yeah.
getting a lesson here. okay. Now, there are some very weird trees, like the monkey tree.
Ah.
And Reed College students needed a monkey tree, and it took years mm-hmm. for them to gather enough cash, and I guess I don't know what all went on about the monkey tree, but it finally appeared. They finally got one, and it's there. I do not love monkey trees.
I do. I used to not like them at all, but I love them now.
Why do you? I want to know.
Because there are some big ones in Portland. There are some huge. They were passed out at the 1905 Lewis and Clark Exposition. Little teeny weeny trees in pots.
Yeah.
And people planted them. Okay, 1905 to 2005, 100 years. These trees are big guys.
Where do they come from?
They come from Chile.
Okay.
And that's their native habitat. Phylogenetically, they are very old. They're a conifer, but they're a very old one.
Oh.
They look different from other conifers because they were a little bit earlier. And their seeds are edible. And I know
really?
Where they're two, they're males and female. Ginkgos and monkey puzzle trees. And so you have to have both to get babies, and
no kidding.
So you get the that yeah. Oh, the sex life of trees is far more interesting than Homo sapiens.
I
but anyway,
say, yeah.
Watch it. No I'm kidding.
we're supposed to.
That's
mention
the end of that.
the chestnut trees. It says. Yeah. Where are the chestnut trees? I saw that the light went on in the control room, and somebody wants to know where chestnut trees are.
Well, okay. Do you mean horse chestnut or real chestnut? I can tell you where real American chestnuts are.
Well, let's cover both.
Okay,
so
play
it safe.
I think they are more important than the horse chestnuts, because there are horse chestnuts all over Portland, but there are two huge American chestnuts, which are very rare because they're all dead in the East, very rare, and they are at Southeast 11th and Lexington in Selwood, and they grow right next to a house, and I just went by them not long ago, and they're blooming now, and they're really spectacular, and they're the only two American chestnuts in town.
Really?
Yes. And because they have this, they die from a disease, as do other chestnuts, but not the horse chestnut. Horse chestnut is an entirely different family, and they're all over the place. And they're, I can't tell you specifically, I know there's some on
there's
Columbia.
Some on, up on Green Hills, there used to be.
Oh,
are
yeah.
They're still eating chestnuts
no,
up there?
No, there are, but those are Spanish chestnuts.
Oh, okay. And those are very good.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
If you like chestnuts.
I love chestnuts.
You have to, they're very good for you, I understand. But they're kind of like potatoes.
Oh, they're like, and the, with the monkey puzzle seeds, they're both, you put them in the microwave for about
a
couple of minutes, and they're marvelous.
And what do you do with them? What do you make with the number one chestnuts that grow up on Green Hills? Yeah.
Oh, I have put them into turkey dressing and that kind of
stuff.
But that's a lot of work. I just mainly stick them in the microwave and eat them when they come out. I adore them.
You bake them.
Yeah. I cut the shell.
And you put butter on them or
anything? No. I just eat them like a nut.
A nut. You eat them like a nut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ew!
Don't you like?
I have to grow. They need to grow on me. I got to have a few more.
Well, Julia, you're invited to my house when the I have my tree that I go to
You
every
just
year.
put some in your pocket, and when I take you out to lunch, you can just pull out a couple.
All right.
But that will be around Christmas time, won't it?
Yes. Well,
because don't they?
October.
They get
October
mature in Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's why they're in the bellies of your turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, what other, and how do you get those the monkey trees? How do you get the seeds out of the monkey tree?
Well,
they're
the
hard to. They're prickly.
They break apart. The female cone is the size of a grapefruit, and on the tree it falls apart and the seeds fall on the ground. So if you know when these seeds are going to fall on the ground, which I do, and I know where a female tree is, I go and collect the seeds when they've fallen on the ground and proceed to eat them.
They're very good for you, I bet. They're full of vitamins. And,
I expect so. They were picked way back in the 1700s, the trees, and shipped off to England. And England has some very big monkey puzzle trees.
I imagine they do.
And Dr. Archibald Menzies is the person who shipped them off to England. And he was the one who said how delicious the fruit was, the nuts.
Well, for goodness sakes. Now, see, I didn't realize that we were going to get into the food part of of the trees. But there are, for instance, I did notice that there were cherry trees that produce fabulous blooms, but they don't produce any cherries.
Is this year,
true?
You mean? No.
No?
No.
I mean, just that they just don't produce a cherry.
Well, unless they're an ornamental.
Blooms.
If they're an ornamental cherry.
They're an ornamental cherry.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't.
Why don't they?
Because
what the flower is for.
Well, no, the flower, they're
to
actually
court bees.
Well, right, we don't have the bees, but they're also sterile. They're cultivars.
Oh,
and many, many trees that are cultivars are not sexually productive.
And this is Julie Bernard, and we have been talking to Phyllis Cantrell Reynolds this morning about trees. Thank you, and this is Julie, and farewell for now.